Hello everyone and welcome to the Blue Toon Podcast, the podcast exclusively all about Peterhead Football Club. Joining me as always is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along again. This is week five.
It certainly is. Enjoying it so far.
It's getting rave reviews we're hearing, so we seem to be doing something right. How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been a very busy week. Disappointing given the result against Clyde on Saturday. Yourself?
I have an interesting couple of days. I won't go into too much detail, but I won't go into anything about that wee operation, but I'm not going to mention it too much. So anyway, yes, Clyde on Saturday. You said they are disappointed with the result?
Yeah, I was. I felt it was certainly, as Mark and Ali touched upon, it was 2 points dropped. We started the game off okay. I thought we got in about them pretty well. We got the first goal, our only goal. It was a good header by Derek Lyle, great crossing. The sending off certainly, in my opinion, changed the game. But I didn't think we did enough, probably, to merit getting the 3 points. But Clyde were worthy of a point and probably had the better chances in the second half. And they can probably feel slightly unlucky that they didn't get all 3 points.
So let's dissect the game somewhat. Let's go through the changes. There were five changes Jim made. Two were obviously enforced. Leach and Edie were out injured. Brown, Smith and Armour went out. Well, we kind of thought last week that Armour might go out. But in came Conroy, McAllister, Lyle, Ferguson got his first start. And James Stevenson was back from injury as well. So he went with a slightly changed formation in a 4-4-2 rather than his 4-1-4-1.
Yeah, I thought it was the right thing to do. We spoke before last week that sometimes the striker feels a little bit isolated. Ben Armour certainly was against Raith. So I was quite pleased when the team sheet came out that McAllister and Derek Lyle were playing. We assumed before the game that it would be two up top. It was just disappointing that we didn't capitalise on starting with two up top.
Again, because Leach was out injured, Scott Brown played majority of the game on the wide right. It's a position we seem to be struggling a little bit, is that right-hand side. Hooper, obviously, out injured at the right-back area. Stevenson is back at playing right-back area. Probably would prefer him to play further forward. But once everybody's back fit, I think we should be covered. But obviously, at the moment, it's almost like fitting square pegs into round holes.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but injuries and suspensions seem to have all come at once. Like you said, Stevenson came back in. I thought Scott did a really good job wide right on Saturday. I had no complaints. It was his cross that set up the goal. I was quite happy. Like you said, once the players come back and we're probably a bit fully fitter, I don't see that side being an issue as such.
So as the game kind of progressed, obviously we got the early goal, which is unusual because we seem to be conceding early goals, and then Clyde obviously got the equaliser. There was then the sending off. Everything seemed to happen quite early on in the first half, but it was a good goal by Lyle. It's what you expect from Lyle, really, that kind of getting that positions and getting the headers.
Yeah, he's obviously at an age, isn't he? He's not got a run about and drag defenders out of position. A ball in, it's 6, 7, 8 yards out to sort of header and finish. You'd expect a man of experience to polish off nicely like he did.
The Clyde goal was slightly more disappointing. Conceding any goal is disappointing.
Yeah.
Right enough, but defensively, you kind of felt they're almost ball watching as the ball was played through. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was really good movement for Goodwill. It's a movement you'd expect from somebody who's played at the highest level. But he was almost sort of let, he'd free rein to get in behind Dunlop and Ferguson.
Yeah, it was a good goal when you seen it live. You knew by the way that Goodwill sort of ran onto the ball that he'd create a yard for himself. But when you watch it back, from a Peterhead point of view, it is disappointing. He sort of ran off the defender. But from David Goodwill's point of view, it's really good movement. And like you said, a man of his experience, he's done really well. It's a good weighted ball through. I think that's what I liked about the goal more. The weight of the pass, it's right into his like curved path, and he's run on it, and it's a really good composed finish in the top of the goal.
Maybe being overly critical, but it was Ferguson's first start. It was his first time he was playing alongside Dunlop in a centre half position. So perhaps maybe the communication between the two of them could have been a little bit sharper. But maybe that's something that they'll pick up as they play more, obviously.
Yeah, exactly that. I think as that partnership develops, they'll come good. First game, we can't look at it from a Peterhead point of view and be critical. But I think on this occasion, we've just got to say it's David Goodwillie. He's an experienced man. He has played at a top level in Scottish football. And I think it was a really good goal from Clyde's point of view.
And not long after, he scores that fantastic goal. He then gets himself sent off. Again, Ferguson was involved.
Yeah.
I don't think we've got any complaints with the sending off. There can't be any complaints with the sending off. He's sort of gone flying in. I think he's made a genuine attempt to go for the ball with a header, but he's led with his elbow. He's used excessive force, to use the technical term, and he's left Ferguson lying in the deck, really, isn't he? He's no other option.
Yeah, I think it was, I can't remember if it was a Clyde player or Danny Lennon himself maybe said that they didn't feel from the dugout or that side of the pitch that it was a red card. They just thought it was a coming together. If anything, it was David Goodwillie would be slightly late. So it must be, the referee's interpretation of, well, he's at a different area of the pitch compared to the Clyde manager. He's obviously seen it, thought it was a red card. I think David Goodwillie himself, he didn't have too much complaints.
From where we were at, we kind of saw it, we were looking right at it. Referee was only 10, 15 yards away from, as you'd expect. If a referee's in good position, he'd be in good position. But from what we saw, David Goodwillie really didn't have any complaints. He didn't even sort of argue with the referee. It was almost a case he was expecting the red card. So from that kind of point of view, you would say, aye, well, it must have been a red card. I can see far Danny Lennon's coming from. So he doesn't want to get his star player sent off. He probably thinks maybe at the worst it's a yellow, but probably seeing it back again, the referee probably was spot on. And in fact, I think the referee had a pretty good game after that as well. He didn't deny him much wrong, really.
Can't argue with the referee on Saturday. I think also just in the David Goodwillie sending off, the fact that none of his teammates have complained either. Normally, if a player's going to make a late challenge on the red card, they'll surround the referee, and you know, it sometimes puts pressure on the referee later on in the game. You know, the 50-50 decision, son, as minimal as like a corner or a goal kick, a throw-in deep inside the half, that can play in the referee's mind. The referee was quite confident with his decision on Saturday, and I thought throughout the whole game he'd a pretty good game, to be fair.
Yeah, I think there's as much way in complaints, but in a weird way, though, I think that the sending off changed the game. Obviously, it changed the game because you're playing 10 against 11, but it actually made the game a little bit more negative because Clyde obviously then sat back. They had the two banks of four left, the lone striker, and it was almost a case that they were saying, right, break us down. We've got our goal, it's 1-1, you try and break us down. And that, Peterhead found it really difficult after that.
Yeah, really difficult. A lot of it felt that we got the ball maybe in the right-back, left-back area, went into midfield, and then it seemed to not stop it, was sideways passing. And Clyde, they were very rigid with their formation. They all knew what their task was. They did it really well, unfortunately for us. But I think once the substitutions came on, a slight change of formation, I think it changed the game slightly for us, but not enough that I can say that we had a couple of chances that we missed late on with it and we deserved to win the game. I think overall a draw was a fair result.
I think if you looked at the first half, there was a big difference between the first half and second half. But it just seemed to be there was a lot of huffing and puffing. They were getting into the final third and then all of a sudden it broke down. The most disappointing thing from a Peterhead fan point of view is the keeper only had one save to make in the second half.
Yeah.
And that was McAllister's left foot shot, I think it was. The rest of the time, he had little to do. There was a lot of long-range efforts that were flying here, there, and our way. But he only had one save to make. Now, if you're playing 11 against 10, he should be made to work a lot more than that.
Yeah, I think we need to take need to take more advantage of our set pieces. I thought they were quite poor on Saturday, whether it be a wide free kick or a corner. Just a lot of little decision makings here and there can have a big impact on the outcome of the game.
You can't really argue with the substitutions that he made either. I think he made the substitutions at the right time. He brought Smith and Armour back on again for Conroy and Fraser and went with a 4-2-4. They both played right up top with Lyle and McAllister, so which gave us that bit more of an attacking impetus. And then as the game kind of progressed, Boyle and Stevenson were getting further forward as well. So you're almost playing that old Jimmy Calderwood 2-4-4 formation. But then it maybe is you're playing that, you're maybe running out of space because you've got too many people there. Because they've got the four banks, two banks of four, I should say, and then Peter Hayes got their end two banks of four as well. Everything gets suddenly a bit congested.
Yeah.
There's no width. He did say his post-match after the game he was disappointed with the level of crossing. I don't think the crossing was too bad. I just think it was there wasn't enough space in particular area, especially in the Clyde defensive area, for them to get the crosses in or to give themselves a little bit of space in the box to get a shot away or anything like that.
Yeah, like you, I didn't think there was much wrong with the crossing Saturday, apart from set pieces. Like you said, it probably got to a point where it's too congested and then you run the risk of it going back to the centre half and start a long lump ball up. That wasn't going to help either. I don't think. The only concern I did have is when we did go to the more attacking formation is we might have been suspect to the counter-attack. Thankfully, that didn't really happen. I think towards the last 10-15 minutes, Clyde sort of were quite happy with the point. Not really breaking to an extent on the counter where you thought we looked like we would concede. But I think in the second half, the better chances did fall to the team of 10 men.
Yeah. And to kind of counteract that counter attack that Clyde possibly had, he did bring on Jason Brown for Dunlop in the last sort of 10 minutes, I think it was. A few folk around about us were kind of going, oh, I don't know, we're needing a goal here. Why is he changing the defenders? But Jason Brown is obviously a little bit younger than Dunlop, so he can get a bit more pace about him just in case there is that counter attack. But he's also got that range of passing as well, so he can play the long balls or the long pass, because there is a difference between a long ball and a long pass, as we're supposed to hear. So you kind of disagree with his substitution. He could have brought on another attacking-minded player, but there's nowhere else for him to play.
I think if he did bring on another striker, he's just putting an extra player there that, with all due respect, is not going to make a difference, because it would be then too congested. You've got people there waiting to finish off a chance, but if the chance isn't being created, then you're not going to be in to finish off. I think it was actually a really smart substitution that McAnally did bring him on.
So given that they won 6-1 the week before and we lost 4-0, before the game, would we have taken a draw?
Before the game, I would have taken a draw. Having seen how the game played and us taking the lead, unfortunately not being able to hold on to it, Clyde going down to 10 men. We didn't do enough, I felt, in the game to warrant 3 points, but I'm still disappointed that we didn't get the results against potentially a rival team that we've got in the division.
A rival team, because it's a bit difficult to kind of, given where for Peterhead is, and our traditional rivals, are Clyde a rival? If you look at, as I said, we're traditional rivals, obviously Fraserburgh, we didn't play them very often. Elgin has, since we've come up out of the Highland League, again, they've been a bit of a rival, but again, we're not in the same league, so we're not playing them as often. Clyde, there seems to be a bit of a, I wouldn't say it's an official rival, but we just like to seem to get one over each other.
Yeah.
And they like to beat us, we like to beat them, for however that's come about.
I think, especially last season, we seem to have a real good battle with them at the top of League 2. And you seen that competitiveness on Saturday with some of the tackles that did go in. I think not a traditional rival, as you said, but I think certainly at competition level they are what we class as a rival. Maybe.
Let's take Aberdeen for an example. Their traditional rivals are Dundee United and Rangers. They're the two biggest rivals. Obviously, there's nobody in a location round about Aberdeen you can say is a local rival. But the rivalry with Dundee United came about, believe it or not, because the two of them used to battle for the domestic trophies. That's a long, long time ago, I know. And then obviously that followed on to Rangers when they started getting back into the top of the end of the league. And obviously the history comes with various aspects, which we're going to go into. But so obviously you didn't have to have a local team to be a rival. Manchester United and Liverpool.
Yeah.
City, they're different cities. But the Manchester United would prefer to beat Liverpool than Manchester City. So, yeah, maybe Clyde. Okay, it's maybe rivalries maybe aren't a big thing in League One and League Two, but you certainly like to get one over.
Yeah, it's always nice to beat Clyde, and even better when you do it down. Down there, certainly.
But after a whole month, because it was a whole month since we had our last home game, we did kind of sneak away with a bit disappointed. We should have, maybe it's 2 points dropped rather than it's a point gained. But as I said, maybe before the game we would have taken it. So yeah, it's one of those, is it 2 points dropped or is it a point gained? You reckon? But in the grand scheme of the season, maybe that might prove to be a good point. Yeah. So starting lineup, we had David Ferguson. He started, he came off the bench against Wraith, so he started his first game. How do you think he got on?
Yeah, not bad. I think nothing really stands out for me that he did anything exceptional, but what I would say is nothing stands out that he did anything bad. So
good from a centre-half,
yeah,
is what you're looking for.
First start for us, and I think he could be really pleased with his afternoon's work.
I think he'll pretty comfortable on the ball. He seemed to be quite happy to have the ball at feet and then sort of move into midfield as and when he needed, particularly in the second half, obviously, when they were sitting back and quite happy with the draw. He was quite prepared to come forward with the ball, spread the passes, which is a different element to what we've got traditionally as centre-halves, because the rest, and this isn't being made disrespectful to anybody else in the defence, but they tend to just want to play the long pass or play it to the full-backs. We've got somebody who seems to be quite happy with the ball at feet and then go forward with it. What was interesting, he said afterwards, is he doesn't have a preferred position.
Yeah.
He can play anywhere along the back, which, again, for a team like Peterhead, is a good thing because we will have injuries, we will have suspensions, so if he can play it right back, he can play it left back, he can play it centre-half. So it can only be good for us in the long term.
Yeah, I think the fact that he also said in his interview that he can play anywhere across the back, it gives you the impression that he's comfortable as well playing anywhere across the back. Like you said, injuries and suspensions, they will catch up with us. You might say they already have last couple of weeks. I'm looking forward to seeing how he gets on. I think he could be a really good addition to the squad.
He could be a good signing. Yeah. Obviously, unfortunately, Jack Leach, a big player for us, he was missing, could be missing for about 6 weeks. Out again with an ankle injury. A young man who's had a few injuries over his career, he is going to be a big mess, isn't he?
Oh yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. You sort of seen that on Saturday. You look for maybe players at periods in the game that can unlock a defence. And I think he might have been that. Hindsight's a great thing, but you just wonder if Jack Leach was playing, could he have been the person to unlock the door? We'll never know, but he certainly will be a big miss for the next couple of weeks.
He's got a bit of an energy about him, but nobody else seems to really have. He can play anywhere across the front as well.
Yeah.
You see him popping up in little pockets here and there, and it will be missed.
There seems to be like almost a sort of buzz when he gets the ball. You think when he's running at someone, you know, that. Maybe buzz isn't too big a word, but there's a lot of excitement. Oh, what's he going to do? You just wonder what can do with his energy and pace in the team.
Because I think towards the end of last season, he was one of the players that sort of he didn't take the bull by the horns, but it's maybe the wrong kind of phrase, but he was one that really wanted to get the season over, get us over the line, and his goals actually towards the end of the season proved to be quite crucial, I should say. Somebody like that is going to be a big miss. Obviously, when he does come back, hopefully he does come back fully fit, beginning of November, December, takes into a big hit a fixture. So actually, a fit and fresh Jack Leach might be the right tonic at that time of the season.
Yeah, certainly. I'm disappointed that he has got the injury. I really do like Jack Leach playing. Hopefully, when he does come back, he's not rushed in. An ankle injury can be something that can be reoccurring. He's also had a cruciate ligament damage as well, so you don't want to rush him back too quick. But the sooner he's back in the team, the better. I think we'll look a lot better with him in the team than we do without him in.
So he's going to be obviously missing again for the trip to Montrose on Saturday. Montrose seem to be struggling a little bit this season rather than what they were doing last season.
Yeah, six defeats, and I think they've conceded about 15 goals. I would be very disappointed if we don't come away with 3 points. I'm not even going to try and say a point away from home is a good result. I think there are certain games that you look at in the fixture list and you think, whether they'll say it in the dressing room or not, to me, that's my opinion, they've got to get 3 points on Saturday. I think if you don't get 3 points, it changes your outlook slightly on the league table. Get 3 points, you're maybe sitting mid-table, looking up. Fail to win, you get a draw. I don't know, it just seems that it would be a defeat to Raith, a disappointing result against Clyde. If you don't get the result, it's a disappointing one against bottom league Montrose. You know, the confidence surrounding the team, get a win away from home against one of your closest teams in the division. Come back up the road with the 3 points.
It's one of them that probably at the start of the season you thought, tricky trip to Montrose because they did so well last season. But they seem to, they've got this, the traditional second season syndrome, whereas they seem to be really, really struggling. Is that because people have gotten onto their tactics, they've been found out, or is it something totally different altogether?
I'm not sure if they've done something different. There's five in and six players out. It might just be a case of that they started off the season really poorly, and it's that thing I just spoke about with Peter Head, a confidence thing. They'll probably look at this game on Saturday and try and work the result that we had on Saturday against us, thinking they've played, the best part of an hour against 10 men. They haven't been able to break it down. Montrose might just need that little something to go for them in one of the games, and it could kickstart their season. By the same token, we are hoping to go down and beat them to maybe kickstart our season after a couple of disappointing results. So it's difficult to tell quite early on the season, but I do think a win is vital for us.
I think as well, if he goes down there and plays a positive team like he did on Saturday, going with the two up top again, I think that will make the difference. I think if he goes down there and switches back to his 4-1-4-1, obviously Montrose might get a lift from that.
Yeah.
And think, actually we could get something out of this. Whereas if he goes down there and says, right, these guys are struggling, let's get an early goal. Because if we get an early goal, you never know, 2, 3, 4
something
might come along.
On, yeah.
So, dare we do another prediction? Because we've struggled last 2 weeks.
We've been brilliant so far. For us, it can only get better with the predictions as well.
Aye.
Prediction-wise, I think we'll win, and I'll go for 2-0.
I think you could break 2-0, 3-0, something along those lines. I don't think that's been too disrespectful to Montrose, but I just think that we're almost at a full squad. Lyle's back, McAllister's back, Armour, Smith, all those guys can score goals. So I could be a positive 2-3-0, I think. And we might come back next week and we could be right. You never know.
There's a first for everything.
There's a first for everything. But before that, on Friday, we went out a quick mention. Our number one, our goalkeeper, Greg Fleming, is 33 on Friday. He's in his third season now at the club. So we want to wish him all the best on Friday. And you never know, he might get 3 points for his birthday.
I think that would be the brilliant birthday present he could get, yeah.
I think that's the best thing he could get. So, all the best, Greg.
Happy birthday.
I don't know if you're listening to this or not, or what, but we'll send you all our best wishes on Friday. And that'll do us again for another week. We hope you enjoyed it. Sorry for the delay a day because of work. Hopefully we'll be back next week to normal on Tuesday, talking about a positive result against them Montrose. So we'll see you, you'll hear from us again next week. Cheers. Bye.